Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. This one is brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors, who will kindly offer you a 10% discount on your legal fees, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball.
That's really kind of, isn't it, that?
What?
Yeah. The offer?
Yeah.
Is that new?
It might be. I think you're probably the best look at the website for details of what it entails.
Cool. What sort of thing do they do?
Or range of legal services.
Do they do wills?
The good ones. Let's have a quick look. Wills. Yes.
Probate. Good checking, yeah. Mm-hmm. Conveyancing.
Spell that for me.
You know.
Begins with a B.
I'm going to say they do.
Begins with a C, doesn't it? Yes. They do conveyance. They do wills, they do probate, they do conveyancing, they do dispute resolution, professional negligence.
Mm.
Should we talk about the accounts?
Well, no, that sounds like you're accusing the accountants of professional negligence.
No. Which I want to say very much for the record, I am not.
Victor Auto, however.
We have got into the accounts somewhat with Phil on this week's show, which is coming out on Friday. So look out for that. We're going to talk about Stuart Dallas as well in this one. But again, we've got into some Stuart Dallas with Phil. Look out for, there's going to be a special show. I think we'll bring that one out on Saturday, all being well. Just chatting about Dallas a little bit more extensively and his retirement. Just to type the Levi's thing.
Oh, yeah.
levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball to get your 10% discount on your legal fees.
If you thought you'd skip that part of the podcast, it's back.
Yeah. Forward 30 seconds. No.
I'm going to mention it roughly every minute from now on.
So if you want to check those out, please do. Help support us and so on and so forth. Rob's back from your holiday. Did you enjoy your holiday? You went to Naples, didn't you? I bet you had a really nice time absorbing all that culture, going to see the what do they have in Naples?
I don't know. We were only there one night and I spent it watching Leeds Sunderland. So yeah, it was a great city. Would recommend.
Very good. What sort of an environment were you in? Any other Leeds fans, or was it a disinterested bunch of locals?
I kept thinking that you always see a Leeds fan on holiday, don't you? And didn't see one the whole time. They were hiding.
Wow.
Right. Disappointing.
You did well to find somewhere showing it.
No, I was just watching it in the Airbnb.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense.
For LUTV.
I was picturing you going into a bar saying, can you turn this Champions League nonsense off? So yeah. There's a big game in the Champo.
Went to Naples for one night and you stayed in the Airbnb watching LUTV Leeds versus Sunderland.
Basically, yeah. We were out through the day and then, because we'd the Coventry game, just avoided it, but then just ended up checking my phone all afternoon and it was kind of worse than watching it. So when it came around to the Sunderland game, I just thought, no, that's it. Holiday's over. This is how it's ending.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. I mean, it was an awful game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I must admit, not being in Ellen Road helped because I didn't have I knew how awfully tense it would be. But yeah, it was also helped by the other results.
Yeah. We didn't know about, did we, the Ipswich game when we recorded the other night and we were all sad about it, but yeah. It turns out they're shit too.
But so. We did caveat, I'm fairly sure, on the match ball by saying, like, you know, it's clear that other teams are going to wobble and drop points in this run-in, and lo and behold, that Finnish club, the old Suffolk Tractors, finished.
Well, so it seems, yeah. Those both losing completely winnable home games.
Yeah.
Leicester losing against away, admittedly, at relegation, threatened Millwall. It's a daft league, isn't it?
I must admit, I was sort of promising myself not to watch the Ipswich game. And then I would, again, just kept looking at my phone. It got to half time and I saw the stats that Ipswich had loads more shots. And I was like, right, just ignore this. But then the entire second half, I was just checking the SOFA score momentum graph.
I watched the whole game, Rob. The whole game.
But I saw Watford were coming back into it and I was half tempted to start watching it then. But I thought, well, no, I don't want to jinx it now. Because if I've not watched it to this far and I start watching it, it might somehow change something. Mm. So I just ignored it again.
It's ridiculous. About halfway through that second half, I thought, this is going to be 0-0, this. And I knew within myself it was going to be 0-0. but then I start, you know, you start to self-doubt, don't you? There's the two parts of you playing off against each other going, no, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. They'll get that late goal because they always do, because you're cursed.
Yeah, I always tell myself off now for just thinking those things. It's like, oh, no, you thought it, you fucked it. I tell myself not to verbalise it at least.
The amount of people who report superstitions to me down at the tunnel as well, people be like, I'm wearing your shirt again because we've not lost since I've been wearing this shirt. Or people go, I need to go, I'm going to go for a pint in the Peacock now because I did that against so-and-so and we won that game. So I'm going to keep doing that.
It's like your lucky socks, isn't it? Yeah.
There's like just about 100,000 people probably in total doing stupid things.
Just saying in the office before, and weren't we, before we came in to start recording, what if all this genuinely did affect it? Like, you know, because you know it's silly.
Mm.
But you kind of convince yourself otherwise, don't you? Because you want to feel like you've got some sort of agency over the outcome. Mm. What if it actually genuinely was the case that all these different things, that perhaps there's a sweet spot, an absolutely perfect set of circumstances. That person needs to go in the Peacock. Rob needs to not watch something on his phone on any given particular day on Sky Go. You know, I need to wear my green socks.
Mm. It doesn't affect it, does it?
No.
I think we should stop recording immediately and go piss in all four corners of Ellen Road just to test it out.
Yeah. Could work.
I did it in the studio earlier. I don't know if you can smell it.
What that was.
Asparagus for tea. Lovely stuff.
I wonder why my eyes were watering there, Michael. But yeah, it's all as you were, basically, isn't it? We've gained a point on Leicester. Could have been worse, all things considered.
Could have been so much better. But yeah, it feels like we've got away with one as opposed to missing an opportunity somehow. I think because we played in the middle, if we'd have played last night, it'd have felt like a missed opportunity. But because the Leicester game was going on during ours and then the other one happened afterwards, it somehow feels better to me. It's entirely psychological, I realise.
I've also accepted that basically since we've come back from the international break, it's just going to be awful until the end of the season. And hopefully I'll be happy by the end of it, but maybe not, but then at least it'll be all over.
I do think back to the end of that League One season where there were really good bits to it, but then in the end it was like we could have gone up at Charlton and we fucked that up, and there were bits a bit early in that where it looked like we definitely messed it up. Then we string a few sort of slightly scrappy wins together. It was like Richard Naylor scoring a couple at Yeovil and stuff like that. Slightly weird stuff going on in that run.
Mm.
And then it comes to the final day and I almost died. So let's hope it's the same again.
So just looking, somebody worked out, I think I saw, and I've got the games in front of me by day, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So there are 10 now. There are 10 separate dates between now and the end of the season on which a football match is happening that we've got to keep an eye on. And that's if you exclude Southampton.
Mm.
If you include them as well, there's probably going to be another one.
I'm sort of still including them because they could still get to 96 points.
Oh, just for my own well-being, I've just ignored them.
They're only a peripheral concern. And, you know, if they do get 96 points and we don't, then we've messed up, haven't we, frankly? They've, you know, it's the angst will have been ours rather than watching them, because it means we need to drop quite a lot of points still. So
it all carries on for another few weeks. So we'll miss it, won't we? We'll be clucking like junkies who've been denied their fix after all this is over, after this season. Because it hasn't really been particularly stressful until it's, as you were saying, like this week, Michael, until it started to properly matter, till we get to this point of the season now.
It was Farke's fault for saying we could look now. He should have said, don't look until there are 5 minutes of the final game left. And I might have been on board with it. I might have been like, oh, no, it's good thinking, actually, isn't it?
And we'll all be in Ellen Road and can't get a signal anyway, so it'd be fine.
Let's take a left turn then and talk about Stuart Dallas. Because he has announced his retirement. It was on the anniversary of the Man City goal that happened, in a bit of quite poignant timing. As I was saying, we've done a show with Phil that's going to come out Saturday, where we talk a little bit more about Stuart Dallas, about kind of the injury. But in terms of how this feels, something I said on that show is that it's another part, another piece of the jigsaw, and a major piece. It's one of the corners of the jigsaw from the Bielsa team that has now stopped and he'll go away in a playing capacity, won't he? I guess there was always that hope that one day we might see him back out there and there's a beautiful redemption story, but sadly it's not to be.
We could have used him so much this year as well. It is a shame for... that we've not had 2 years of Stuart Dallas the footballer, because he was brilliant, wasn't he, up to that injury. And yeah, the kind of the years from that Derby playoff, which was ultimately a disastrous evening, but that was like, he'd been decent that season, but that night it was like someone flicked a switch and it was like, no, he's now one of your best players, and he just stayed that until he got injured.
Yeah, that first Bielsa season, it wasn't really clear where he fit in, and then from that game onwards it was like, doesn't matter where he fits in, he's just in the team. And I was looking back at what I wrote after he got injured, and there was a stat in there that of Leeds' last 122 games at that point, he'd started 121 of them. And he was doing that playing through. There was a joke among the players that he could never finish a week of training because his toe was knackered and he had hamstring strains and various other injuries. And bearing in mind, so much of that was under Bielsa, who demanded his players to be sort of ridiculously fit. Dallas was just so resilient and so stubborn that he was just like, I don't care. I'm going to be one of the best 11 players in Murderball every week and one of the best players in the every game, basically, every week. It was, he was just Mr. Consistent, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Mr. 7 out of 10 every week without fail.
And often more.
Yeah.
We should say we are going to do a separate guide episode about Dallas at some point, aren't we? Because there's plenty of stuff, like individual games and moments and stuff to pick out from his career.
Excuse for me to talk about that Stoke goal where Forshaw lays it off to Pablo, who rolls it into his path. That, for me, is probably my favourite non-headline goal, if you know what I mean. Like, so the Swansea one, for example, will always encapsulate that Bielsa season and the moment we thought, bloody hell, we're going to do this. But that, and Hull away as well, though, that big sweeping move that gets played, that was it Tyler Adams? I'm so sorry. Tyler Roberts finished off. Moscow would kill me if he was there. Yeah, Tyler Roberts finished off. But that, to me, I think that's one of my favourite Leeds goals. But so the opportunity to talk about that again.
I don't even know what the score was at that point.
Was that the second goal out of a 3-0 win?
Yeah, I think it was not even a particularly significant goal, but it was just one that you kind of go, oh, there were lots of that in the Bielsa era, weren't there? Goals that made you just make a little noise when you saw them the first time, then you saw a replay and you were like, I think that's even better than first appreciated.
Do you know, it's funny, do you agree, Michael, that the atmosphere on Tuesday against Sunderland, it was the first time I sat in Elland Road for a while and thought, yeah, this is a proper, we're still in the shadow of the Bielsa era. We're still Bielsa's widows, aren't we? Because people wanted us to bomb forward and commit bodies and just break this down no matter what, keep knocking on the door. And we were knocking on the door, but just not quite enough.
But then there's always a bit of a desire for the other as well, because there were definitely games under Bielsa where Alioski would appear in the box and we'd be leading by a goal and he's the 93rd minute and he's up there and you're thinking, for fuck's sake, just sit back. Yeah. Let a winger run it into the corner and just hold on to it down there and we'll just see this game out and then we'd still be trying to add more goals. So there's always a bit of rose-tinted nostalgia about
it. I didn't necessarily mean it as like one thing is better than the other, but in terms of the all-out attacking, that's better in the sense that it's more fun to watch because it can be reckless at times, can't it? So why the hell not? It's rock and roll football. But I don't know. It was just an awareness, a situational awareness, I suppose, where I thought, yeah, this is this kind of the annoyance at the backwards passing and the perceived negative football is because we still hanker after that all-out attack.
I was going to say on Dallas, in terms of his moments, rather than a moment, I felt like there was just 2 years where everything he just did it right. Mm. Even if it was just really simple things like his touch or a tackle or a pass, like a game would go by where everything he did, I'd just be like, well done, Dallas. Well in Dallas. Because he just, whatever it was the right decision and he did it properly. And I think everything that's come since then, where we've watched Rasmus Christensen try and pass a ball or take a throw in and just really struggled to do it. You just think, oh, I just miss Stuart Dallas so much. A guy who you can just trust to do things right and properly.
It's an excellent point, is that, you know? It really is an excellent point. Like, you see the difference between good and great players and more mediocre ones. It's all about decision-making, isn't it? And it felt like almost every footballing decision we took during that era felt like it was correct, even if it wasn't.
Because the thing with Dallas is, you'd almost struggle to pick out what he was brilliant at. Like with Pablo, you'd say he could see passes no one else could see. He could hit passes other people couldn't. Calvin had the big diagonal ball. Dallas was just good. He just made good decisions and was in the right place. And that was really his strength during that period.
It felt like they all did more often than not. It's very rare that you looked and you got annoyed at what a stupid decision we'd made.
Mm. It's why he could play everywhere as well. And one of my favourite Leeds goals from that time was, I think it's Bamford's hat-trick goal at Villa. And it felt like there was just like 2 or 3 minutes leading up to that, where again, we did everything right. And if ever Villa dared to touch the ball, we just go, no, we're having that. Mm. And we just carry on doing brilliant things. And it ended with a ridiculous finish. And yeah, Dallas was just always the heartbeat of everything.
Oh, Rob, you've made me feel
something. I mean, we just keep having this, don't we? Whether it was like the ailing videos that weren't that long ago, were they? When you just get to look back at it all. And it's all quite bittersweet as well, isn't it? Because you see Dallas himself addressed it, but you see the Man City goal and it was a great moment. And I remember us going mad celebrating it, watching it, but it's in front of an empty stadium and you didn't get to you didn't get to, people didn't get to enjoy it there. You didn't get to see the sad Man City faces as that rolls into the net. You didn't get to, I don't know, you didn't get to see them lifting the trophy in front of a crowd and stuff. Like, there's so much of that era that was brilliant, and then so much of it that's tinged with a lot of sadness as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's just, I suppose that's the way football is for the most part.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Because it's based on sentimentality, so much of it, isn't it? And that is one of, yeah, again, rather than like a personal regret for me not getting to see the trophy lift and games inside stadiums, will be Bielsa himself not getting the moment with the trophy in front of the crowd to salute him for what he'd done. Because he probably wouldn't think he was worthy of it anyway. But he bloody well was, wasn't he? And yeah, Stuart Dallas, an absolute core part of that. Right, let's talk about money very quickly. And again, we don't need to go too detailed into this because the accounts have been released, but we are seeing probably the legacy left behind of trying to get established in the Premier League following that promotion. And it ain't looked too pretty, does it? I'm not saying it's disastrous or we're in any sort of big trouble, but as we've said with the show with Phil, which again will be out tomorrow, it shows that if we don't go up, sales will happen. And sales still might happen, you never know, you know, to balance the books.
When you're in the Premier League, you just end up spending all of your money and more. Just as when you're in the Championship, you end up spending all of your money and more. I'm not sure at what point you don't have to do that. But yeah, I think in the gist of it seems to be that these aren't a disastrous set of accounts, because the bar for accounts is now so absolutely awful that you kind of, you go, oh, well, at least we're not spending like 200% of turnover on wages. That's good. That's almost where we are with stuff. And it seems like the profit and sustainability stuff, we're just about still on the right side of it. And looking forward, we have probably enough good players to be able to sell them, which is in itself quite depressing. But if we need to, there's enough talent there, isn't there, that we can continue to make ends meet on these things, I suppose. Whereas when we came down Ridsdale era, we came down with basically no one left to sell. We sold a few players and then
the market collapsed, didn't it?
And then we're sort of stuck with salaries of Seth Johnson, Gary Kelly, Lucas Radebe, people who'd been good servants to the club in a lot of respects, but also were then still stuck on Champions League contracts in the Championship. So it's not as disastrous as those times, but
I tell you what it has done, though.
Let's just go up, eh?
It has shed a little bit of light on what's happening this season, because these accounts finish summer 2023, so we get relegated and these accounts run up to the end of that season, so June the 30th. I suppose the perceived clearing of the decks that seems to have happened, you know, this season since the new regime's come in, they've got a lot going on the football side, Nick Hammond and Steinson and all that, that they, you know, the sold Yelda. I get a feeling that we're going to see quite a clearing of the decks one way or another this coming summer anyway. I think we won't see Aronson coming back probably. Actually, I originally thought he might. I suspect they'll try and offload him in some capacity. I think we'll, you know, obviously Shackleton goes, Pervader's gone, and we'll be going. You've got the core parts of that promotion side, Ayling, Cooper, Dallas, all on fairly sizable contracts. If we go up, you imagine they're trying to move Firpo on. And it feels like they just kind of almost said, look, we need to tidy up all the mess and the excess that happened during Victor Orta's time at Leeds. And that, you know, that's not to say that we could have avoided doing what we were doing, but it felt like we've chucked a lot of money at not very good players.
Yeah, it was...
Not to mention all the loan rats, I was going to say, was the other point. Like all the ones who are out on loan, you know, Christensen, Rocker, all those lot.
I mean, the worry for them is there even going to be a market for them, because so many of them have left and continued, surprise, surprise, being crap footballers. But it was interesting, the timing of this coming on the day that Dallas retired, you know, this guy who we'd signed for £1.5 million or whatever from Brentford. And, you know, the one thing that the previous ownership got right in hiring Bielsa, and he took this £1.5 million winger from Brentford to scoring the winning goals at Man City. And then in that time, that ownership had all that time to learn. And yet they seemed to come out of it thinking they were the cleverest people in the room. They spent the best part of £200 million getting us relegated. And now you look at these accounts and go, shit, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah. But then you look at the sort of backroom team that's been put in place there now. Like Robbie Evans, for example, who's come in as chief strategy officer, will no doubt be working out, presumably with the aid of data. Imagine that. I know it would really, really upset Neil Warnock, who doesn't like data.
Victor also had a spreadsheet. Come on now.
Well, Victor had his spreadsheet and he had Y Scout, and Neil Warnock, he doesn't like it. How they're just bringing all those lads in from the continent based on data. You know, Victor brought data in, haven't they? But data is the way that it's going. And if there is a way to give yourself those marginal gains in sport, isn't it? If you can get those marginal gains to try and give yourself a little advantage. Well, in the way that, for example, Brighton have their, they've got a patented algorithm, haven't they, when it comes to recruitment and managers and so on and so forth. So, and that belongs to, I think it's Tony Bloom who holds that, doesn't it, who owns the club. So they can fall back on that to an extent, and it's having them overperform probably where they, I say should be, I'm doing again air quotes, but it's a means to try and tap into that same idea, I suppose.
I think the thing is, for most clubs in the Premier League, the reality is if you make a few bad signings and a couple of bad managerial appointments, you're in quite a lot of shit pretty quickly.
What I'm saying is it feels like they're trying to mitigate against that and make sure they don't make those mistakes, so you can afford to make, if you don't quite get one thing right, that you've not pissed a load of money up, the, you know, up the wall, you maybe go for those slightly more sensible signings who might retain some resale value.
Like contrast
with the moonshot of bloody John Kevin Augustin.
Although in some ways, the likes of Rocker and Christensen looked like that, because they weren't huge investments in terms of cash. They'd played at reasonable levels. Certainly Christensen had played internationally. Those seemed in some way sensible.
Yeah, but Rocker, you can see, is completely immobile as a footballer, and that's probably why he was available. You know, and so we've got a team that, like, so Bielsa was obviously very, very high pressing. Marsh's football was all out running around like a headless chicken pressing. And you wonder how much of that was Victor Orta wanting to prove a point that I could take this player from Bayern Munich and we can put him into our team and make him work.
It didn't, did it? Is the short bit. How's Victor doing in Spain now? Have they improved at all?
Sevilla.
I've not been checking in on them recently.
Slightly, I think.
They're like 15th or something now. Yeah. Well done, Victor.
I think that, aren't they like pining for a takeover by those people who are really not taking over Everton?
God, is it them?
I think they're sort of
777?
Yeah, around there, I think.
Right.
Yeah, which I'm sure will go great.
That'll go well. So they are 30 games into the season. So they've got 8 to go. They are on 31 points in 14th spot with Cadiz, who are 18th on 25. So they've got a 6-point gap. So chances are they'll probably be all right.
Has Victor Orta seen fit to bowl in anyone's face? Who's dared to express a bit of displeasure at the way it's going?
Should we say probably?
Let's say probably.
But yeah, so I mean, like, Cadiz have only won 4 games all season. Granada, who are underneath Cadiz, 2 games. Yeah. Almeria, who are bottom on 13 points and 15 points adrift, probably not going to do much.
It's a low bar then.
Yeah.
Is what you say.
It was, I think it was last month, Sevilla fans were kind of wondering why the 3 players Orta had signed in January hadn't really played, and they'd been saved by a kid who was playing for like their 3rd team at the start of the year. But, you know, I'm sure that was another Orta masterstroke.
Because he's got that lad from, he got that lad from Manu on loan, didn't he? Is it Hannibal? And he got dropped within weeks for being basically a knobhead, I think is the is the fans' way to put it.
Learned from the best, I suppose.
Yeah,
at Man United. Yeah. Some good role models there. The captain, for example.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, great bunch of lads, aren't they? Great bunch of lads. Player of the year, you're looking forward to that? That's happening. It's a week today as we record this, Thursday, the 18th of April. Michael, those tickets, silver tickets, £120, including VAT. So that's fine.
That's good.
Gold tickets, £150. They don't seem to have mentioned the platinum tickets, which you can get if you go and have a look. Do you want to know how much they are? Have a guess. No. Let's have a game of, let's see how much we can upset Michael.
What do you get for a platinum ticket?
I'd want Daniel Farke sat on my knee for that.
A gold ticket, £150. I was thinking that's got to be free bar. It is not a free bar.
No. Access to a cash bar, though.
Cashless bar.
Cashless. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for giving me access to it.
You don't even have to bring your wallet.
A bar where I can spend. Unless a cashless bar means it's free, which I don't think is right.
Yeah.
Or does that mean a free bar?
Cashless means you've got to pay with your card.
Right, that is what it means. Yeah, you can't start yourself.
Or your phone or your watch or whatever. But
I've misunderstood and I'm not willing to.
Listen, there's been a terrible misunderstanding. I need to go now. £120. Well, actually, if you get the tickets online,
I think basically the gold ticket is if you want a table where you can see what's going on. I think, and the silver tickets, you're at the edge.
Yeah, well, your silver tickets are £120 plus £1 booking fee, which I think is obviously
quite reasonable.
Needed. Gold is £151, including the booking fee. Platinum, where, like I say, presumably you get Daniel Farke sat on your lap, £300, £301 if you include the booking fee, but you can't talk to them. You can't get photos. Can you even look at them?
No one has to go, do they? I suppose is the thing. It is expensive.
It's like no touching, eye contact only.
But yeah, they've made that sound really joyless, haven't they? There will not be an opportunity to have photos with players or ask for autographs during the evening. If you see them in the toilets, don't fucking speak to them.
Yeah.
Don't even look at them at all.
Eyes front and centre, as it should be at the urinals. They'll have special urinals.
There was definitely a Player of the Year awards when Sol Bamba was singing songs in the toilet. I remember there being videos of that.
And there was Ross McCormack got levered that time, didn't he? Which was good. But yeah, it's been a while since we've actually had a Player of the Year awards, isn't it? So maybe they've just forgotten how they work.
We'll have a look at...
Who are you voting for, by the way?
Well, I was going to say, let's save it for when we get into Heroes and Villains in a bit and see where the scores are pointing us, but it's going to be one of... Jeith and Rompidou, is it? One of the two?
Yeah, one of the two, probably. I suspect Archie might win Young Player of the Year, if you're a betting man, I think that might be worth a couple of quid.
Let's just hope they're going to live stream this and we can all feel like we're there.
You've got to pay like a tenner to watch the live stream, haven't you?
Through LUTV. Yeah.
Do it through a VPN.
What? Sorry, how does that work?
Don't know.
No, just something you've heard about. Yeah, so anything else to address then from the news? What else has been going on? Fill me in.
The under-18s have done well. We've reached a final. Managed to beat Millwall at Elland Road in a bit of a back-and-forth 4-3. That was good fun. I watched most of it while it was kind of getting kids to bed and stuff. So I was kind of had it on my phone while all the stuff was going on.
Your own?
My own children.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes. But yeah, it was a good win. And we now play Man City on a date which seems to not quite be confirmed. It was originally seemed to be in for the 4th. But then some stuff I've read
that's the last day of the season.
Yeah. Some stuff seems to be saying they might rethink that.
Yeah. Because I mean, yeah.
And I think it was an issue. Because it's at Man City, because it's not a two-legged thing anymore, or a neutral venue, and it's fixed. Obviously, it's the new Leeds were coming, so they fixed it. it was originally due to be at their academy stadium, but as it's us and Man City, I don't know if they might end up moving it to the proper stadium.
They should move it to Oldham. Play on a neutral ground in the middle.
On a really shit pitch.
Yeah. they should reinstall the plastic pitch.
Give these young footballers the best chance possible. play it on some...
Of coming out with knee burns.
Some absolute shit heap.
So good luck to them. They've done well to get there, haven't they? It's nice. That sort of harks back to my own youth of watching like the 1997 one, and prior to that, was it 1993? Which was the one bright spark in the post-championship season where we finished 17th, which was bollocks.
I think we'll take a decent number of fans to that. Particularly if it's post-season, people will get quite into that, I think, one way or another.
Post-season, pre-playoffs.
Yeah, maybe.
Nah, we'll be done by then. We'll be finished. Going to drop out to 7th.
I actually tweeted after the Sunderland game, we're going up as fucking champions, and I just had a lot of people telling us to fuck off.
It's a fair point. It's a fair response.
I saw you tweet that. I wondered if you'd been drinking.
Yeah, I had.
Ah, does explain it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The court is in session with Levi solicitors, TSB jury. Is that us? That's us three.
I don't normally get to use that. It was handy, so I did.
Yeah, well, because I've fallen out with the idea of the jury now, I don't want to. I'll just take it away from me.
Oh, okay. It's this upon us. And then I've given up on it.
I thought it might be a nice idea, but it's turned out I didn't like it anyway.
Season's nearly over, don't worry.
Yep, true. We need to pick a villain of the week, first of all. Ken Bates Villain of the Week Award.
Well done, Tim Robinson.
Yeah, referee for... should have gone to Specsavers, as the advert would say.
Yeah, we shite, wasn't he? I don't know if... Is there even any other candidate? I mean, we should probably address Farke. A couple of people did nominate him for the lack of subs, for the sticking with Pat.
Yeah, but Robinson's failure to do his job properly is what's caused grief in Farker's direction, because you assume we would have scored one of the seven penalties we definitely should have had.
I must admit, in the latest issue, I made villain of the issue just shit refs, generically. I didn't really, my heart wasn't really in it, but there were a lack of villains. I'm not really that bothered about slagging off refs usually. But then watching that, you do just think, come on, mate. Just do your job. Yeah. Give the penalty. Give Leeds lots of penalties, as we should have had, and that would make things better.
And VAR as well can be an extension of this, because I hate VAR, but this has made me think that VAR would have picked it up, so it's caused internal conflict in my mind, which I don't appreciate. That's Tim Robinson's fault.
It needs taken off the table, does VAR, because otherwise you end up wishing you had it for like a minute at a time.
Yeah.
But then if we'd have just scored a random late goal, you'd be delighted we didn't have it, because you wouldn't have that bit of going, oh, I think maybe when James did that overlapping run on the right, maybe his toe went off and I just need to wait, and I'm not going to celebrate properly now because I've got to see the replay and make sure it's all fine. I'm not going to be happy until they've kicked off and it's all fully approved. So it's better just everyone get rid of it, please.
Did you see the Aberdeen thing with VAR?
Yeah, we just mentioned it with Phil. So yeah, you'll get a bit of chat on that. It's only a minor bit, but that is wild, isn't it?
Basically admitted they guessed, haven't
they? Yeah. Or Aberdeen have outed the Scottish refs for admitting they've guessed. Mm. Yeah, which I've, as you said, I think on the match ball, actually, you thought the liner who was in front of the East Stand.
He guessed loads of times.
Just guessing loads of stuff on Tuesday.
There was loads of times when him and the ref are looking at each other, clearly going, don't know.
And there are
just point one direction.
For me? Come on.
Well, what they do is if they're not sure, they always go with the defensive side. Mm. And I noticed them doing it a few times, just like, yeah.
And which was the game this season where the ref had obviously fucked up and then he blew up for a foul on the corner straight afterwards?
Yeah, it was fairly recent, wasn't
it? That sort of thing that refs do as well, where they're just like, oh, I can sort of, I've got it in the back of my mind, I've made a bit of a mess or something here. I'm just going to try and do something now to undo that. But it is a difficult job, let's be kind. However,
but it's a difficult job done by sociopaths.
That handball was not difficult to see.
Mm. Although Roden's head was in the way, but the liner should have picked it up. There were two of them. This is the reason why they've got more than one official. Do your jobs. Sounding like Roy Keane now. Dan James's Platform Shoes wants to nominate the championship as a concept. The fact that it's so tight at the top. Inescapable dread is what this league does best.
Mm.
But that said, I presume at the time that came in was before Ipswich choked and admitted they were finished as a club.
The inescapable dread is for everyone. That's the only benefit, really, that no one seems to be finding this easy anymore.
Mm.
I did find it funny though last season when everyone's like, oh, championship's better, isn't it? We should just be in the championship. And you do forget, like, just wait till you've 42 games in and it's just so long and you're still going.
But if we do go up from this position, it'll feel like one of the best seasons ever because it's been so competitive all the way, and you'll retrofit your experience to match it, won't you? In the same way we have done with the Bielsa promotion, like we've almost forgotten about that hideous Luton game and the Barnsley game.
Stuart Dallas scored in that.
Yeah.
That Luton game.
Yeah, a couple of Coventry nominations. Alice Sims gets a mention from Sarah. Mark Robbins from Luca B as well. Just a little scum bastard, isn't he?
That's
about the size of it.
The Coventry Stadium people. Rachel nominates them. Photocopiers in a building society. Doesn't exactly say fun and excitement, does it?
No.
Which is fair enough. Bamford gets a nomination. 7 years he's been annoying me. Enough is enough.
Jack Grealish as well for finishing Stuart Dallas's career.
It was a cynical challenge by Grealish, was that?
I thought so. Right then, it's the dickhead ref anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fine.
It undoubtedly is.
In terms of player of the year then, we've fed the scores into the supercomputer, and last couple of games the scores have been hovering around the low to mid sixes. Matteo Joseph gets the highest score against Coventry, 6.25.
Dickhead ref Tim Robinson, by the way, not 0.27 out of 10.
Lowest of the season, or?
Oh, I'd have to check that. It's top three.
Right.
Or bottom three, whichever one way you want to do it. It's bad.
Yes. So your top three for Coventry were Joseph, Perrault and Rodon. And Sunderland was Melier at the top with 6.36. You've got Rodon and Junior again. How does that leave us then, Michael, with the player of the year scores?
Good week for Joe Rodon, I suppose, because he's doing all right when everyone else is doing not particularly well. So yeah, he's got a slender lead still at the top over Ampadu, and then you're down to Somerville, Gray and Rutter. But not a good week for Pat Bamford. He's got a 3.35 and a 2.92.
Oh, poor Pat.
Which is pretty tough going, isn't it?
It was during the Hull game when he missed that absolute sitter. My dad, who's not the biggest Pat Bamford fan, it's fair to say, he stood up and just went, sub him off. get him off. And I was like, Dad, it's 20 minutes in. I don't care.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, how you flip between the two ideas of he's quite important in terms of the pressing for this side, but at times he can be an awful striker.
Mm. Yeah, he's not had a good week.
No.
But we get to see him again on Saturday, so that's something for everyone to be pleased with.
Yeah, let's just hope he rediscovers his, because he's streaky, isn't he? They have to have a little streak between now and the end of the season. That's all we ask. Gaetano Berardi Hero of the Week Award then. Candidates, Stuart Dallas, congratulations.
Seems only fair, particularly in a week where it was all looking fairly thin, was the hero nomination. I mean, even you got one for something, Dan.
Me?
I can't remember what. Not giving into the darkness.
Our Obi-Wan Kenobi, I'm not.
Which is...
I'm a dickhead.
Entirely on the surface for a podcast, I know. I know watching games, you hate it as much as everyone else.
No, I definitely go through the ringer, but
you have a little word with yourself where you go, no, it's fine. But then the minute you actually see some football being played... But
I'm the same as that. I always have that duality, I think, that we all experience, which is complete and utter existential dread and terror about what's happening, but also remind myself it doesn't matter and we'll probably be all right. And even if we don't go up, we'll still be all right in the long term because players come, players go, and you can be philosophical about it. But then I go, oh, but I like these players, so we've got to go up. And if we don't go up, it'll be a disaster and the finances are out and they look shit. So football's mad. And yeah, I think I settle somewhere in the middle. I always remain quietly optimistic. Like, I hope it was reflected in what I said on the Match Ball. Like, I felt like teams were going to drop points in the running, and yeah, they did us a favour, didn't they? Did Ipswich by being finished as we've established. So well done. Millwall and Norwich have got nominations, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, they're probably the fairest nominations. And Dick Van Shitbitch did preemptively, this was a nominate Watford for beating Ipswich. He put them in for going early on it, but they drew, which was fine. I was happy with the point.
Did you see the 50-yard speculative hoof that nearly went over the Ipswich keeper like right in the last minute?
Didn't watch any of it.
No, I saw a few messages about that, but I'm still ignoring it.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, given the sort of the perception of Ipswich having had a lucky season with the, like, you know, deflections and so on and so forth, that I feel like maybe will the universe finally rebalance with that one going in? But it came close. It came close. The keeper had to sort of claw it away. But yeah, well done, Millwall. Well done, Norwich.
Firpo gets a couple of nominations as well. Dickie Wood says still playing really well. Does caveat it with, although if your best player is June, you've got a problem.
Bless him.
And Wiggy nominates him for just being a fun guy. Yeah. So I think he's fair enough.
I did enjoy Firpo reposting the Dallas retirement statement, just saying he's my favourite ever footballer.
Yeah.
Good on you, Junior.
It's very nice, that, wasn't it? Yeah, very. In a world of insincere social media posts, that felt very very human and real.
When Farker has had a few villain nominations as well, only fair to say Richard G has nominated him as a hero. He says, because when I hear him talk, I think everything will be okay and I'll stop thinking about why he waited until the 82nd minute to make his subs.
This is the thing, there's reason behind, isn't it? And you can probably understand it. You think, oh, well, maybe we can get in there and snatch it in the last 10 minutes. But yeah, you always want the thing to happen that's not happening, don't you?
No, when we're winning, I'm quite happy for that to continue.
When it's not going your way, you just want them to do whatever it is to fix it. And therefore, everything that you're not doing becomes the answer to that problem.
You often encounter this in the ground where people just yell, change something. When things aren't going well. It's like, I do. I sort of know what you mean, but like,
just fix it.
Just fucking score. Be better.
It does go back to something I heard someone shout earlier in the season where they went, just play better. you've nailed it. Well done.
It's like my mum used to come and watch me play football when I was a kid, and doesn't watch football at all. Probably the only full games of football she watched are my like abysmal under-12 performances. And you'd occasionally hear like shouts from the side, just nonsensical. Just be like, oh, go on, keep trying, and stuff like that. It's of a similar level when things are going wrong. You're just like, just don't do... Score!
Mom, will you stop it?
He's not mine.
He's not mine. Oh, dear me. Anyone else you want to mention then? Who else has got nominations?
I mean, if we're looking purely at Player of the Year, it has actually been a good week for Chris Claassen. He's rising up the rankings as everyone's playing badly. I don't know about anyone else.
I think we should give it Claassen ahead of Dallas.
What play?
It's controversial.
He's in the sort of top 1, 2, 3, about top 10-ish, isn't he there, Chris Claassen, with his two appearances and an average of 7.
You do, when you're saying about things you convince yourself of, watching the Dallas videos yesterday, I went, part of me did go, well, we've got a cup now, haven't we? For Stewie.
Yeah. No, same.
I felt like that's why they made him retire on that day. It's like, we've got 4 games left. Go on, Dallas, make them cry and they'll have to get promoted.
I was going to say, it's interesting that Phil was saying, when we speak about it, again, you'll find that one coming up in your feed, saying that there is a possibility that Farker could have said to him, you know, we don't need this now, it's a distraction. You know, we don't want to take the guy's focus off things. Mm. Where I actually wonder if, and of course, Stuart Dallas retiring is not welcome, but I wonder if it's a welcome distraction.
Mm. Yeah. They call it a dead cat, don't they?
In politics.
In politics. Yeah. Really, get some other news out to distract from the bad form. But no, it's I feel like it left everyone feeling nostalgic and sad but warm.
Yeah.
Because the Dallas stuff. So maybe that's going to make us happy.
Sad but warm. What's your favourite sad but warm experience?
I'll come back to you.
There you go. So any other mentions before we award this to Stuart Dallas?
I mean, Grove gets a mention, but it's good, but not heroic. Fine. Moscow as well for being calm, but, you know, we're not giving it to him.
He's not here to put his case forward, so no that's not happening then.
Stewie Dallas.
Absolutely love the man.
We might still see him lift that trophy after all. You never know. He might get a go with it if we can get our act together this season.
Yeah. It'd be nice to have that party, wouldn't it? And Stu Dallas be central to it.
And also, he's retiring, so he can do what he wants afterwards. It's great. He doesn't have to...
I want to see him. If he does get that 95th minute cameo against Southampton on the final day, I want him to swig out of a beer before he comes on.
Come on with a can and a kebab to play the last minute.
Put out his cigarette as he walks on.
God bless him. God bless Stuart Dallas. And yeah, go well. I just hope this isn't the last we see of him. And he's owed, he's like we are, we're owed the party.
Yeah,
I feel definitely. Like. So that's why we're going to go up, Michael. You're right, because we're owed it.
Exactly. We deserve it.
And people say we're entitled. Right.
Yeah, but we do.
So no, we really
so it's
do.
Not entitlement because
Ipswich,
we do deserve
Ipswich
it.
Had a nice time last season.
Exactly.
Don't get greedy.
They've barely lost a game for like 2 years now.
Yeah. That's greedy. We know Leicester is cheating.
Correct.
So you don't deserve it.
And they won the title like fairly recently.
Yeah.
They won the whole thing, didn't they?
Yeah. So, our turn.
We deserve it. Please.
Right, we'll be back with Phil on Friday, match ball Saturday. You in for that one, Rob?
No, Moscow is in for that one.
Oh, it's daylight hours, isn't it?
Yeah, so I can just go drown my sorrows in the pub afterwards.
It's more amenable. Right, we'll catch you for all those. See you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.